Well, hello, dear Queen Boss, and welcome to the episode number 11 of the E-commerce Queen Boss podcast. My name is Sohail Ghanem. I'm your host, an e-commerce entrepreneur, a keynote speaker, and I help Queen Bosses just like you to build their own e-commerce brand through experience and consumer psychology marketing. And so now, as you might know already, all my episodes will come on every Monday, and I will be dropping two episodes, and this is the right place definitely to learn how to build your own kick-ass e-commerce empire with ease, flow, and grace. So remember to subscribe to this podcast to keep you receiving all the episodes directly from your app, because it's free. So right before I start today, I want to talk to you about my amazing profitable e-commerce marketing planner. And so if you are still running around desperate to make sales or to, you know, keep on having regular incomes coming into your e-commerce, and you're just wondering what is the next best step that you can take into your e-commerce, you can definitely download for free my plan, and it's available to you directly in the show notes, and you can download it as you listen to this episode. So let's get into business today. The topic is a topic that I've already touched before, but I think it's so important to go back into it. And this is what we call the imposter syndrome and all the things that lead you to self-sabotage. And I wanted to really make you listen to a quite an old, it was last year, an interview that I had with a professional life coach, Sonali Ancola, and basically we were talking about imposter syndrome and how to get over it. And it's so, so good that I really wanted to bring this back, especially around this time of the year where, you know, you might not have hit all the targets that you wanted to hit this year. And even though we are still in October, December very much feels like it's going to happen tomorrow, right? So all this is going to, you know, time flies, and you might start to feel like, you know, that you can't really reach your target, or that you, you know, start self-sabotaging around that and start thinking, who am I to have the things that I want? Who am I to build this business? Who am I to be successful and have all this money, right? So this is exactly what we are talking about, and the episode is going to start very, very soon. So stick around and keep listening. Hello everyone, I have a very special guest here with me, Sonali Ancola, and she is going to cover a few topics over life and how to deal with the imposter syndrome. So if this is something you're struggling with, we're going to talk around this topic and other motivational topics for business owners. Keep watching. Hello Sonali, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for your time and for accepting to come up here. So can you tell us a little bit more about you and introduce yourself?
Yes, sure. So as you said, my name is Sonali Ancola, and I am a motivational business coach. So basically what I do is I work with female entrepreneurs, especially entrepreneurs that are looking to either start a business, are very new in business, and especially side hustlers, meaning that anyone that is still working on their job full-time or even working part-time and looking to also get their business going on the side. Now, as far as how did I get into this whole coaching industry that I'm in right now, well, my whole experience started with this actually a few years back when I had entered into the whole online entrepreneurial world. And at that time, I had actually started by starting a jewelry business because I had an interest in actually starting more so with something that was inspirational, motivational based. And I loved bling. So I figured, let me try to combine the two and see if I can, get this whole jewelry business going. So I did spend about 2.5 years researching everything, 3 years getting, the business going, spending time on it, whatnot. But the part that always bothered me is that there was always something, there was this gut feeling, something deep inside me that always felt like something wasn't right, like something was holding me back. I was never able to kind of fully embrace my business, and I couldn't really figure out what it was. And it wasn't until that I started doing Mastermind and I got a coach where I was working with a person one-on-one that I realized I had kind of gone with this in the wrong direction. Meaning that even though I love, you know, jewelry and I love the mindset part of it, my real focus always should have been more so the inspirational, the motivational, the mindset part, because that was a part that always really lit me up. And it wasn't, again, until I started the coaching sessions where I had that aha moment of realizing that, oh my God, I actually need to completely restructure this. So it was a hard decision to accept, but I have to admit it was probably the best decision that I ever made. Because once I decided that, you know what, I need to make this change, no matter how much time I've spent on this so far, how much money I've invested in this so far, that this change was the best change I could possibly make, everything just kind of started flowing a lot more. And even my confidence in the whole thing, you know, my body language when I would talk about it, or even the words that I would use to describe it, it was on a whole other level because I was actually happy with what I was now doing. And the best part that I love about this now is that being a coach and having an opportunity to work with women, especially women that are, you know, looking to start and grow their business, I love the fact that now I get that opportunity to have that aha moment with them and for them to realize that, you know what, they're going down the right journey. And if they aren't, then I am there to help them out, help them to facilitate in whatever way I can, so that they keep taking their business journey in the right direction.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, you know. And when you find your true calling, obviously you can go at it with your heart. And that's probably what's happening with the people watching. And, you know, even though sometimes you are asking yourself, you know, am I the right person to say this? Am I the right person to coach? Am I the right person to lead on this specific topic? And I think at some point, each one of us faced the situation of feeling like an imposter. So this is the topic of this video. So can you tell us, like, according to you, and like, what is the best way to overcome this feeling?
Yes. So as far as the imposter syndrome, or, you know, any time that you feel that, you know, you're not expert enough to be able to do something, I think you need to take a few steps back and realize that when it comes to being an expert, I think that the definition of itself has been kind of blurred in the sense that, well, one, being an expert, you can't possibly know everything. As a human True. Being, you cannot possibly know everything. True. And you'll never even get to that point where you can say you know everything, because you spend so many years, you know, having that experience, or so many years learning things, because the world is always evolving. So when it comes to being an expert, the way I view at it, and the way for you to also help you overcome that imposter syndrome, is to realize that it's not about knowing everything. It's more about being a few steps ahead of the person that's asking you for help, or person that's asking you for guidance. Mm. So the reason I say that is because when you're only a few steps ahead, instead of being, you know, miles and miles ahead, it's much easier for you to relate to the person and be able to give much more detailed guidance. So, you know, let's look at like a really simple example for this, right? Say someone came and asked you, how do you saute vegetables? And if you're giving someone directions on how to do this thing, and it's been, I don't know, let's say months since you've sauteed vegetables, you'd probably say, well, you know, get a pan, you know, put some oil on them, throw some spices and saute it. Like, okay, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
But now if you compare this to, say, you only did this maybe a couple days ago, you will be a lot more descriptive in what you did. Because again, it's so fresh in your mind. So even your details would be about, well, you know, get a medium-sized saucepan, maybe use a tablespoon of oil, you know, and again, depending on how much vegetables you're using, maybe a tablespoon of oil is good for about a cup and a half of vegetables. And by the way, be really careful if you're going to use frozen vegetables, because if you throw frozen vegetables on a hot pan, that thing is going to splatter like crazy and you don't want to burn yourself. So it's details like this that are so much easier to remember, and they come so much more easily to you and make you so much more relatable to the person that you're talking to. And that's where it helps. Those are the parts that really help someone when you're giving them guidance, when you're giving them, you know, that expert advice on how is it that you can help them and improve on whatever it is that they're working on. So the other thing else I wanted to mention with this, especially if you're struggling with maybe even just building up that confidence of saying, you know, I'm an expert in something, or that I'm able to give you guidance on something. So what I did, especially when I started first with this whole, you know, coaching practice itself, I made up a list, and I call this list my value and experience list. And what I did is I wrote down every experience that I've pretty much had in my life that allowed me to really grow and develop myself as a person. So let's say, for example, you know, if I look at my corporate career, which, you know, completely different from coaching because corporate is, you know, pharmaceutical based. So if I look at my corporate career, you know, I've had experience with mentoring people, doing interviews, you know, running global meetings, presentations, and even something simple as putting together a meeting agenda. Now, if you look at something like that, you're wondering, okay, what does that have to do with the coaching business? Well, there's an indirect connection with the two, because being able to do all of that has, again, it's allowed me to grow myself as a person. It's allowed me to build that confidence and also allowed me to, you know, build like organizational skills and people skills and whatnot, which now I'm able to take into my coaching practice.
Yes, 100%.
And, right? I mean, it definitely helps being able to have those kind of, you know, different varieties of experiences. It doesn't have to be experience that's exactly directly related with the business that you're doing. And, you know, just to kind of wrap this whole thing up, if you're still struggling to try to figure out, well, how do I figure out which experience to say is, you know, something valuable that, you know, I can jot down and list in, and write down in my list of values and experience. So I would say look at experiences where you have had two of these happen, or I should say either of these two happen, where one, someone gave you a compliment for something you were able to help out with. So say, for example, if a friend came to you for, you know, dating advice, or maybe it's work advice or family advice, and you were able to help that person through and kind of help to figure out, you know, maybe this is a good solution to try, or maybe this is an alternative solution to try. So if you're able to work through that and end of it, your friend, you know, gave you a compliment and said, oh my God, that was really helpful, thank you. That shows that, you know, you have the skill to be able to work through problems. You have the skills to be able to relate to someone. And the second thing I wanted to mention is you also want to look at experiences where you had moments where you felt proud and happy with the work that you did. So for example, something like, you know, if you helped out a friend with planning an event, like a birthday party or something like that. And, you know, once that whole party was done, you felt pretty good about what you did. Then that's, again, another experience you can write down, because that clearly shows that, you know, you were able to help, again, with the organizational skills. You were able to either take good, you know, guidance from the person or give them guidance on how to get the event together. So I would say those are two things that you can definitely focus on if you are struggling to figure out the experience to write down, which is compliment, and the second thing that I mentioned, which is moments where you felt proud and happy.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very true. Like, and as you said, you mentioned whatever you learn when you are in the corporate environment. And to me, I keep saying this to everyone, is that a lot of people who are starting with their career, like see me, for example, at a specific stage in my life. And whatever I tell them is that, you know, you need to know what is the next step for you, you know, because it's a strategy to get wherever you are, wherever somebody else is. And the best place to learn is actually the 9-to-5, the corporate world, where it is going to build you up to whatever you need, as you said, in terms of just doing a meeting to doing something bigger with someone else, and that's just the best platform for you to learn this if you're just straight out of college, for example, or you're just starting your career, or even if you have been in the same job for 5 to 10 years and you're just like, okay, I'm fed up, I want to do something else, then this is where, like, you're right, you know, you use whatever you went through, whatever you've learned, whatever can build up your confidence and etc., so you can actually transition to actually working for yourself. Definitely, I love that. And since we're talking about starting a business, can you give us advice on for someone who's like struggling and just want to actually start their own thing, but they are still in the 9-to-5 structure and are like scared to transition?
So with starting a business, and again, I'm going to focus on a business where you're not talking about a really big startup cost, because the way you start that is a little bit different compared to, say, you know, something where the startup cost isn't as much. So focusing again on a business where the startup cost is either minimal or maybe none at all. Mm-hmm. What I would say is start with this in the most simplified way as possible. Because if you're going to focus on this really big grand picture of, you know, I'm going to start a business and I'm going to have a business that's like a 5-figure business, 6-figure business, 7-figure business and whatnot, it just that what happens is that the picture becomes so big that trying to come up with now actionable steps on putting that grand image together just becomes really overwhelming. And honestly, because it becomes so big, trying to, again, figure out ways to get the whole thing done can almost cause paralysis, the point where now you're not taking any action at all.
Yes.
So, right? And so you want to try to simplify this as much as possible. So an example would be, you know, I mean, let me just take my example, what I went through with the jewelry business. And I wish I had done this when I had first started. So when you start with a jewelry business, and again, just as an example, instead of thinking of, you know, I need to have a website, I need to come up with 25 amazing pieces, I need to have very active social media and whatnot, and focusing again on this big, big picture of what this super successful business needs to look like, I would say start very simple. So just come up with 3 pieces. That's all you need. Come up with 3 pieces. Come up with, even if you want, just a design, especially if you're making yourself, just come up with a design, share it with friends and family, and then see what kind of feedback that you get. But at least by having it done this way, where you're starting more so in a more simplified way, it doesn't make the process of starting so overwhelming. And then again, also, you're able to come up with, you know, actionable steps, and you don't need as many actionable steps because it's a much smaller goal that you're focusing on. And it really just kind of allows you to start. But the one thing I would say is that if you're still struggling with this, my recommendation is you can do a couple of different things. One is either get a coach where you're doing one-on-one sessions, because that really, really allows you to, you know, super deep dive into your ideas and figure out your strategies and whatnot. If that's an option, you can always consider more so of a group coaching, because usually with group coaching, it is a much lesser cost, and also gives you that chance to interact with other people.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the third option, again, if you know money really does become a bit of a struggle, is finding an accountability partner. Now, with accountability partner, though, I do want to mention a couple of things, since this is a free option where you're finding someone to work with. Keep in mind, you do need to find someone that's on the same level as you, meaning that if you're just starting a business, it'll be really tricky if you're trying to find a partner that's been in business for 15 years, because, you know, you guys are in completely different mindsets. The way you're doing the business is totally different.
Absolutely.
And it'll just become hard to, right? It becomes really hard to be able to relate to each other.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Right? And a couple of the things I would say with this too is find someone that is willing to stay committed in taking consistent action to move forward. And the last thing, and this is the most important part, do not forget this, is when you have an accountability partner, keep in mind you're not only getting feedback on your business, but now you're also taking time out of your schedule to look at that person's business and give them feedback on, or even ideas and whatnot, on how they can move that business forward. So don't forget that part. I do think a lot of people do miss that part when they think about accountability partner. They think it's just help for themselves, but it's actually it's a two-way street. You've got to be willing to help each other.
Yeah, sure. It's a win-win situation. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yes, exactly. Very true.
We were talking about like fear and about starting a business. And a lot of people, what I found, and like I did find myself in that situation, and I think it's a very human feeling, is that we want to succeed, but we tend to sabotage ourselves because we are scared to succeed. So can you give us like advice on how to overcome like fear of success?
Yeah, sure. So first thing I do want to mention is fear of success. It is a real fear. Though sometimes when you hear it, it sounds a little strange because why would you want to be scared of success? Like, doesn't everybody want success?
True.
So first thing is just recognizing it is a real fear. And as far as, well, how do you identify this fear? Because what's really interesting is we actually just went through this when I had my mastermind session recently, where, one of the women that was talking didn't even realize that she was actually going through the process of experiencing fear of success. So when it comes to identifying this, I would say the best way to recognize this is by when you're picturing an accomplishment, you know, whatever goal it is that you want to achieve. If for some reason you're feeling more anxiety versus excitement, you have fear of success now slowly starting to kick in. And if that anxiety is not also causing paralysis in the sense of you not being able to take actions to move forward, or even causing procrastination, definitely there's fear of success kicking in there. Because again, it's holding you back from being able to achieve an accomplishment. So an example for this would be, say that you have a business where you create planning journals, and you just got an order, or you have a demand that you know that'll be coming in for about 50 journals. Now, instead of feeling excited that, oh my God, I'm going to be selling 50 journals, all you can think in your mind is, oh my God, how am I going to put all of this together? I currently can only do 10 journals. Then that's when you know you definitely have fear of success kicking in, because now you're not focusing on even getting the 10 journals done. You're so overwhelmed that all you can think about is, how am I going to get 50 journals done? And because of that overwhelm, even the 10 that you could sell right now because you have them, it will almost even hold you back from being able to do that. Or the other thing that can happen is if you try to focus on all 50, then either you sloppily try to put it together and then the quality of it suffers. So you definitely want to be mindful of whenever this is starting to kick in. Because again, it is a little hard to recognize at times. Now, as far as how do you actually overcome fear of success? So few points with this one. First one I would say is focus on the part that you can accomplish. So again, if you go back to that journal example, focus on the 10 journals that you can actually accomplish. And for the 40 that you can't, just let your customers know that, hey, currently there's a back order. I'll get to it by so-and-so date. Or just say there is currently a back order. We'll update you as soon as possible. And then focus on the 10 that you can actually accomplish, and then be proud of the 10 that you can accomplish. And a couple of the things also to keep in mind in order to help you to overcome this is when it comes to your vision. Now, with this, this might sound very opposite of maybe what you might have heard with other people, but with the vision itself, I would say if that vision is becoming too big, where again, it's causing you to not take action, see if you can break that vision down into more bite-sized pieces and then start focusing on it one at a time. So again, looking at the journal example, instead of thinking about, the 50 journals to sell, focus only on the 10 and get that part done. And then after that, focus on maybe selling the next 10 or completing the next 10 and kind of doing it more so in the bite-sized pieces instead of that really, really big vision. And the third and last thing I wanted to mention with this is you can always reach out for help. Because when it comes to friends and family, you can always reach out to them for help to see if there are certain tasks that you can delegate to them. Or the other option is there's sites like Upwork and Fiverr where you can find work for fairly cheap, or I should say fairly affordable costs, and see if you can hire someone from there to maybe help out again with tasks that can be delegated for them to do, you know, maybe like the more tedious tasks or tasks where it's, you know, more so repetitive and whatnot, and doesn't need your input as much because it's not so much like the creative or the core or like the meat of your business itself. So those are definitely three options that you can use to help you overcome, you know, any fear of success that you're experiencing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. And like what we tend to think, especially when you're like in that transition from the 9-to-5, where you are always told what to do and that you are in the frame, you know, your mind is in the frame, basically, even if whatever you, let's just say you work in something that is artistic, where your freedom, you have freedom of art, basically, of doing whatever you want, but still you're in the frame. This is the 9-to-5, basically. And you're not much in control of anything. Basically, people are telling you what to do and you have to do that. But, you know, when you actually transfer to working for yourself, the control comes on you. Like, you are the one who's controlling, like, how many pieces you want to sell, actually. Exactly as you said, if you have 10 pieces, you have the choice to choose, I will sell 10 pieces. And this is something also to keep in mind, is that when you free yourself from the 9-to-5 structure, it is now on your, it's on you to take the decision of thinking and wanting to do what you want, basically. So that's where, like, you know, when you leave the 9-to-5, you have no structure, basically. So you choose. that's my point here. And
that's true.
And like another point that I feel is really related to the fear of success is managing money, because when you are in a 9-to-5, you have a set salary every month that you're coming. But, you know, when you're transferring to working for yourself, and then it depends on whatever you're doing, but like in the best case scenario, there is no ceiling to how much you can earn. And I think it's also a fear that is related to this, because people know that their lives will change. Like because I went through this, you know, like transition from the 9-to-5, etc. So like the thing is that, you know, how can I put this? Like when you have your set and stone revenue that comes every month from the 9-to-5 structure, and then what's the fear of success will do, and also the fear of money is that it's going to tell you it's not going to work. You like your salary is going to go down, basically, and it does happen for some entrepreneurs, and it doesn't happen for others, you know. And as I said, fear of success and fear of money and managing money and being successful with money. Like you spoke about the fear of success, but whatever, what about the fear of money, you know, like earning more? Can you tell us and, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So so if you're no longer, you know, side hustling, you know, as you mentioned, you're no longer in your 9-to-5, you've kind of, you know, immersed yourself fully into the business 100%. Couple of things that you can do to help with, you know, any kind of negative mindset that you might have. First one being is look at your belief system itself, meaning that are there any limiting beliefs that you keep telling yourself over and over again? And because you keep telling yourself over and over again, it by default becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy. So say, for example, you know, you have this belief that I can't seem to get my savings account, you know, past $5,000. I'm randomly picking, you know, a random number here. And because you have that belief, say 1 month, you end up having $6,000 in your savings. And here's the really funny thing that tends to happen, which I don't even think people realize at times that they're doing this, because this will almost happen on a subconscious level, where because now you have that $1,000 extra in your bank account, suddenly you think that, oh, I can spend the money on something else. And it'll be totally unplanned. You don't even realize you're doing this. And next thing you know, you might, right? It's like you'll just go off and either book a vacation or buy something or whatnot. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you're right back to $5,000 again. But then you're wondering, what just happened?
What happened?
It's like I thought I had that extra money. So, and by the way, this is something even I have gone through myself. And I've had to constantly monitor myself at each level that I would get to. And the way I found, a way to work with this is by, instead of spending the money now, you know, once you get to the $6,000, wait till you get to the $7,000. Then take the $1,000, splurge whatever way you need to splurge it on. And it's totally fine because now, at the end of it all, now you still have $6,000 and you've helped to move yourself past that $5,000, belief limit in your mind. So again, just move with this, more so incrementally, but try to be as conscious as you can. Because again, these actions happen almost subconsciously, but again, just try to be mindful anytime, you're spending money, where is that money really going? And is this something that you have to spend on right now? Or can you wait a little bit, a little bit of time till you have a little bit more money and then go ahead and spend it? Because again, it'll allow you to sort of move past that part. The second thing also I wanted to mention with this is recognize your value. Because especially in the beginning, when you start a new business, when it comes to recognizing your value, and by value, I'm talking about the price point that you set for yourself, whether it's for selling your products or for the services that you have. You want to make sure that your price point is set in such a way where you are comfortable with it, and you're also slightly uncomfortable with the price too. Because with both extremes, there is sort of a negative part to it, meaning that if you're super, super comfortable, that clearly probably means you either really set the price too low, because now you have no hesitation in setting that price at all. And then what ends up happening with that is because your price is so low, you either start resenting whatever you end up selling, because you're thinking, oh my God, like what the heck? Like I sold this for so, so cheap, and you don't have the appreciation for it anymore. Or the other thing that can happen is, say for example, if you have something like a coaching business where you are literally selling your time, because again, these are one-on-one sessions, whether again, one-on-one sessions, group sessions or whatnot, you're selling your time, and each instance, each session requires you to bring in that 100% effort. So again, if you're going to set the price too low, you're not going to be able to maintain that level of effort, because again, it's you start feeling that you're underselling yourself. But you also need to be careful of now the other extreme, which is setting your price way, way too high. So if you look at, the coaching business, again, as an example, if you set your premium so high, the point where even you think it's crazy and unrealistic, then when you try to sell it, that energy, that vibe is going to come off. And you won't even realize sometimes that at times you yourself will start saying things like, oh yeah, I understand, it's really expensive, maybe let's see if we can work something out or whatnot, or yeah, I get it, you can't sign up right now. And it's almost like you'll start making excuses for the client in order to not sign up with you. So you just want to be careful, again, with either extreme. Try to set a price point that's more so, that comfortable point, but also slightly uncomfortable, because you want to be constantly pushing yourself, out of that limiting belief. And the only way to really do that is by consistently pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And that's when you will start seeing the change occurring.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. I need to check that, because that's something we spoke about before this call. And yeah that is still something for me to work on, and I will definitely do that. Okay. And where else can we find you basically? For the people who are watching.
So you can find me on Dream With Intent. You can go on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, or on YouTube, or you can contact me directly on the Dream With Intent website. That email will come directly to me. So yeah, you can reach me on any of those platforms, or go join any of the social media platforms, because I would absolutely love to have you there.
Awesome. Sonali, thank you so much for your time and for your expertise. Like, that was really amazing. And I'm really glad we had this time finally to put together all this. And for me, like, it's something, as I explained before, the new type of content that I also want to do here on my YouTube and come in like this. So thank you so much again. And I really appreciate your advice. I'll be starting to work on this. And same for you, if you're watching and if you have a question, let us know what do you think about, like, where are you right now with your imposter syndrome after watching this video? Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you the next time.